T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Studs, let's go. The 9 o'clock hour. My name is Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 10. We're going to talk with Gary Owen. If you watch BET and you're like, oh, who's the white dude who's funny? It was probably Gary Owen. He's coming to the Chicago Improv this weekend. We're going to talk with him around 9:20 tonight. We've been talking about the Cubs and we've had some horrible phone calls. I'm just going to be real with you. We've had some good ones too. We've had people that didn't watch the game today that are mad that Chris Bryant was out in right field, even though he plays right field apparently more than people know. And oh, here's another fun one. A texter said that the 2016 team wins this game. Herbie, what's the Cubs record right now?
52-37.
What was their record this time in 2016?
53-35.
Oh, man.
Almost identical. Almost exactly the same, but because they're not 10 games up in the division, people, the sky's falling.
Here's the thing. The Brewers have gotten better. It's a little bit more competitive because the Brewers have gotten better.
If you look at the schedules the Brewers have played versus where the Cubs have played, it looks like the Cubs have played a harder strength of schedule. So it will die down in the post-All-Star game.
I don't know if I buy that, but whatever. How many times have you prayed for a 50-win first half of a season? Your team wins 50 games before the All-Star break. You're feeling really good. They have the second best record in the National League. I'm at a loss. And the only thing that I can think makes sense is there are people who hate Joe Maddon because he's smarter than they are. Are there times when Joe can be a little too cute? Yes. But who is it that, you know what? I'm not even going to ask the question because I know the answer. Joe Girardi! He used to play for the Cubs and he went to Northwestern. Joe Maddon brought you a World Series. It's so hard to like wrap your head around this. It's like if you weren't paying attention to the game today and you were mad that Chris Bryant ended up in right field, it's like, what am I supposed to do with that? This guy says, well, 60% of the people were probably listening to the game. Fine. Watching, listening, whatever. Whatever. But As long as you were paying attention and understood why Chris Bryant was in right field and how it's not that weird for Chris Bryant to play outfield, because for a significant portion of his major league career, he has played outfield when asked. He is not naturally an outfielder, but he's a good enough athlete to play in the outfield. They were in a situation today where they needed to move him to put LaStella at third after pinch hitting. They did it. Yes, it's a little bit bizarre because the right field in San Francisco is rough. It's probably the roughest right field in the game. I would say Wrigley in a day game is really tough because you're dealing with the glare. But that's a rough right field to play. But still. Hi, Joe. Joe?
Hi, how are you guys?
Joe, can I ask you a question before we get started?
Yes.
Did you watch or listen to the game today?
I actually did both.
Okay. Good man. Good man. All right. Go ahead. What's your thoughts?
Okay. I support Joe Maddon. I like what he does. I actually texted. I said they're two games off from the 2016 pace. Everyone needs to relax here. The question I have is Tommy LaStella takes a walk in the later innings with nobody out, and Joe elects not to have Ben Zorbris bunt him over. Okay, fine. We can dissect that all we want. But then why doesn't Tommy tag up on that ball, similar to Almora Game 7 World Series? That's my one complaint, in the sense you have Jason Hayward, who had a great game today. He's coming up next. So that would be the one. Okay, but I still support Joe Maddon. And the other one.
Well, I'll tell you, Cubs today 0 for 7 with runners in scoring position, so it might not have even mattered.
True. No, that's a good point. The other one is, I trust in Rizzo. I know he's in a slump, but you've got Schwarber on a 2-2 count. They put the shift on him. He lays down a bunt. When is Rizzo going to take that mentality and say, I need to go to left, and I need to just lay one down here?
Well, he's done that before. He's done that. I feel like that's the wrong guy to criticize for that, because Anthony Rizzo has shown a propensity to try the bunt against the shift. He's a guy that does all the old school stuff on two strikes. He chokes up, takes the B-hacks. I truly believe that he's struggling with an injury. Joe says, and that's all we can go by, Joe says that there's nothing wrong with him other than confidence. I'm not sure I buy it. And you look at his splits over the last week, he's hitting 111. It's been a grind for him. In July, Anthony Rizzo is hitting 148. 148, 233, 185. A slash line of 419. 419. That's probably a little outside the demo. On the other end. Hey, Glendon, you're on the score.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Glendon, did you watch or listen to the game today?
Yes, sir, I watched.
Okay. What's on your mind?
You know, I can't take it when people call themselves all these high Cubs fans, but then they don't realize that these guys are playing, you know, 90 ball games before the All-Star break. Guys are tired. They're worn out. So I think putting Chris Bryant out in right field, as athletic as he is a fine choice. Like you've been saying all night, it's a hard right field to play. Now, I mean, putting the guy out there, first game out of injury, that's not my decision. That's none of our decision. That's a manager's decision. But, you know, when these guys are winning 53 ball games or whatever it is before the All-Star break with games to spare, I mean, one game isn't going to decide the whole season. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you hope that one game doesn't. Although with the way that the Brewers are playing, let's get an update on them. See what's going on in that game right now. That game is tied at 4 apiece. The Brewers and Miami in the bottom of the 8th inning. So, the Marlins with a 3-run 4th. But the Brewers have fought back with a 2-run 8th to tie it up. I guess that's your scoreboard update. Romeoville, Norm. Hey, Norm, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. How are you, dude?
No, I'm good. Did you watch the game today, Norm?
I saw the end because I was working.
Oh, hold on. I'm going to need a ruling here. He says he saw the end of the game, but he wasn't watching the game. Can I go forward with this phone call?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. All right,
oh,
Norm.
I'm a good dude.
All right, Norm, go ahead. What's your thoughts?
I just don't understand why Bryant was in right field. Because that ball hit halfway up the wall, and Hayward would have made that catch. I think Bryant was tentative of running into the wall with his left shoulder.
I don't think that was it. I think he got a bad read. He had been out there.
If he says it hit halfway up the wall, and that wall is like 20 feet tall.
It's fine. Herbie, it's fine.
Hayward would have jumped that high?
Hayward, I think, would have made the catch, but it wasn't because the ball was halfway up the wall.
That's a tough right field.
Yes, I think Bryant got a bad read on it. Hi, Jack. You're on the score.
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I just want to say I didn't watch the game.
Well, thanks for calling. Appreciate your candor. Appreciate you letting me know before the call went further that you did not watch the game. You have no standing here, Donnie. Shut the bleep up, Donnie. You're like a child who walks into a room. No, don't call back. Not tonight. Wait until Friday. I'm off tomorrow. So, you know what? Call Shep and Anthony Heron tomorrow. Call them. They'll talk with you.
Today was unusually bad on the calls.
Yeah.
I mean, you heard the ones that got on. Just imagine the ones that didn't. There was a couple good ones.
No, there's always a couple of good calls. But again, this is why the listener hates the caller. Just opinions with... And people who still, like, why was Bryant in the outfield? Because Tommy La Stella, you know what? I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this again. I'm not. We're going to talk with Gary Owen. Take a break, and then I'm going to talk with him. If you've ever seen him, he's really good. If you haven't seen him, he'll be at the Improv Schaumburg on Saturday. He'll be at Improv Chicago on Friday. We're going to talk with Gary Owen next here on The Score. Glad that you're hanging out with me. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and we're on until 10 o'clock tonight. Then Julie DeCaro is going to take over the microphone. I'm off tomorrow. Got some stuff to do. But I'll be back on Friday. Oh, also on Friday. Friday morning, I'm going to be on WGN-TV a lot. So I'll be on the morning news. Ben Bradley and I did some features because they do this thing every year where they have like a block party for a city. And the city they chose this year is Homewood. So being a Homewood Flossmoor graduate, they were like, hey, do you want to come hang out in Homewood for a couple days? And I said, yes. So Ben and I went to Homewood Bat yesterday. We went to Aurelio's. We went to our old high school. And Friday morning, I'm going to join him and the crew from the morning show at Channel 9. In celebrating Homewood, there's going to be like a parade in the whole nine yards. So I think I'm supposed to do something around 8:45 with Ben, and I'll be in the parade. So if you live in Homewood or Flossmoor or nearby, come on through. It's going to be a good time. Channel 9 Friday morning. My next guest is going to be at the Improv this weekend, both Chicago and Schaumburg. So you can go check him out. Gary Owen is a fabulous comedian, and he has made it up the hard way in comedy. I'm happy that he joins me now, and I guess, Gary, you're out there driving around?
I'm driving. I just left the cycle bar with my daughter.
Oh.
what? Chicago?
Yeah. Yeah.
No joke.
So are you, like, working out with her?
Yeah, she's 16. We work out together, and it sucks when you get over 40 and you're a dude and you get in a cycle bar and it's like 80% women, and I'm coming in like eighth place out of like 15. I'm like, what state of physical fitness am I in?
Yeah, man, it's a real struggle. We're about the same age. By the way, early happy birthday to you. Well, we're about the same age, and I marvel at when I go to the gym. I live right by a college, and I see these college kids like working, and they're not even breaking a sweat, and I'm like almost near death after 30 minutes on the elliptical machine.
And it bothers you when you see them an hour later at Five Guys.
No doubt about it. Like, you see them just, like, loving life, like, having not even having to try to get the abs, and we're out there killing ourselves just trying to make it through the day.
I don't even want to talk about it. Let's talk about my show.
All right, let's talk about you. Let's talk about you going to the Chicago Improv and the Schaumburg Improv this weekend. I've always wondered, man, I know that you get this question asked a lot, but what's it like to be a white comedian that kind of got famous through the black comedy circuit?
I always say that. It's like I'm the Carl Malone of comedy. He was like, he had the John Deere jeans. He had the John Deere tractor and the hat. He had the Wrangler jeans when he was in Utah. But nobody questioned his ball playing ability.
No, that's true. And didn't he have an 18-wheeler truck too?
Oh, he's a country dude. Like, he literally retired and just disappeared to a farm in Louisiana.
Oh, that
just was gone.
That makes a lot of sense. But I mean, you get mad props like since the 90s on the black comedy circuit. That's a hard nut to crack for a lot of non-black comedians.
Well, what it was when I started doing stand-up, I can, you know, if I was going for the mainstream rooms, I could only get up maybe once a week. Now I can go to the quote-unquote black hood spots and get up four or five times a week. So I just want to get on stage. And that's what gave me my opportunities when I first started. I was like, okay, I'll go.
When did you know that you had that thing that wanted to put yourself on stage?
Birth.
From birth?
Birth. My sixth grade teacher, there's two instances when I was growing up. My sixth grade teacher, my first day of school, I was talking when he was talking. He goes, "What do you want to be, a comedian or something?" I was like, "Yeah." And then he looked at me and he said, "I saw it in your eyes. Like, I can't crush this kid's dream." He just went, "Well, not in my class." And then when I was in 11th grade, everybody was taking the ACT and the SAT. And I told my teacher, I said, "Oh, I'm going to be a comedian. I don't need to take it. I'm not going to college."
So you knew back then. So what would you say if your daughter said to you, "You know what, Dad? I'm going to go be a comedian or an actress. I'm not going to take the ACT or the SAT.
Well, I'll tell you this. My son has already opened up for me in numerous cities, and he's 17.
Wow.
If you go to YouTube and look up Gary Owen's son, we got his first time on stage last month.
How did you feel about that?
Oh, it was like, I don't know, it's weird. It'd probably be what Archie Manning feels like when Peyton and Eli played. I'd imagine the first time they played NFL or college football. I was so nervous because I had to go up after him. But I was like, man, if he doesn't do well, then I got to go off on this crowd.
Right, you're gonna have to fight a whole crowd if they start booing your son.
Right, but he did well. He did really well, and he wrote all his own jokes. I didn't help him at all. He just went up there and did it.
Were you ever worried about, you know, your kids getting in entertainment just because of the grind that you've had to go through to get to where you are?
No, because when you look back on it, you actually enjoyed the grind and didn't realize it. Because there was there's always different goals, but it's just all part of the process. And looking back on it, I loved it. I loved the crappy hotels and the crappy pay and the small towns. It was just they all add up to stories when you're my age. They're great stories when you're amongst comics and just friends.
I'm talking with Gary Owen, comedian. You can see him at the Chicago Improv and the Schaumburg Improv this weekend. He's driving into town. He's going to be here and do a bunch of shows this weekend. So please go check him out, chicagoimprov.com, if you want to learn more or go get tickets. I heard that you're a big sports fan, which is part of the reason why I wanted to get you on the show. Is that correct?
I'm huge, and I'm a Cincinnati guy, so I'm all about anything Ohio. Anything.
So did you see the video of Pac-Man Jones today in the airport?
I did. I saw it.
I felt like he was provoked, Gary. Like, I'm ordinarily someone that thinks that Pac-Man does this to himself, but that video felt like a man that was trying to walk away and someone provoked him.
Oh, yeah, without question. You know, the only thing you wonder is, why does it always happen to him? It doesn't happen to Russell Wilson.
Right.
You just wonder what the guy said to him to provoke him to that point. But, you know, the other guy got arrested, so Pac-Man didn't.
Yeah.
They reviewed the tape.
That's a good thing for him, because I think that, you know, he's someone that already kind of has a target on his back. But the fact that he wasn't arrested in this altercation probably looks good for him as far as the NFL is concerned.
And honestly, I fly every week. I've never seen an airport worker, like, provoke anybody like that. Usually they're the ones breaking stuff up or trying to be peacekeepers. I've never seen an airport worker do that. It was so odd. It was so odd.
Have you ever come close to squaring up on somebody in a comedy club?
No. I'm always one to tell you, I'm quick to press charges. I am not fighting anybody, man. I'm not. This is what I know. Most people with W-2s aren't fighting people. That's what I've realized in life.
That is an absolute truism, that you're not trying to get your job taken away and those checks from jumping in and everything else. So if I come to go see your show this weekend, what can I expect?
It's kind of like seeing LeBron James play. You're like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. I knew it was good. I didn't know it was that good.
I love that. Like that.
Chicago.
That's
Michael Jordan.
No. There are people here who are actually like LeBron now. Like, I think that there's some respect that's been built up in the way that he's gone about dealing with the Golden State Warriors over the last years. Because we've looked around and seen, man, he keeps going to the finals with a whole bunch of bums. Imagine if he had, like, another couple of guys that could help him with these guys. He might win another championship.
Yeah. It's very much, it's comparing to football, the comparison between Jordan and LeBron reminds me of Tom Brady and Joe Montana. Like, who's better? Like, Brady's been to more Super Bowls, but he's lost a few times. But Montana never lost. So it's like who's better? Who's worse? And what I realized is when people have that conversation about LeBron, if you're a Jordan guy, or you're a LeBron guy, I have never seen a person change their mind in the middle of a conversation. It's literally one of the most pointless arguments. LeBron's people are LeBron's people, and Jordan's people are their people. You're not changing their mind.
You're 100% right about that. It's hard to make a convincing argument for anyone who's dug in one camp or the other.
Right. Like James Worthy and Scottie Pippen, yeah, you might be able to sway somebody with that argument. But you're not swaying LeBron or Jordan fans.
So are you, since you're all about Ohio, was Cleveland your team?
Yeah, I go where LeBron goes, man. Because I, when Jordan was with the Bulls, I always rooted against them, and I don't know why. Yeah, I do. I was a Patrick Ewing fan. So I loved Patrick Ewing growing up. And you know, Jordan was a thorn in the Knicks' side his whole career. But I told myself, if anybody comes along close to Jordan, I'm going to just roll with them, because I was so sick of being frustrated.
So
LeBron comes around. He's an Ohio guy. I'm from Ohio. I was like, okay, that's the dude. I'm going where he goes. I'm following that dude and rooting for him.
Well, if you want, I mean, you can – I'm a White Sox fan, but if you want, you can cheer for the Cubs because Kyle Schwarber is an Ohio guy, and he was a big deal.
Ohio, too.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a couple of guys that are Ohio guys in the league, and it's fun. Is there a group of Ohio people in comedies like Dave Chappelle? Right, he lives in Ohio.
Yeah,
because I know
Williams is originally from Ohio.
Oh, really? So do you guys still talk about Ohio sports? And here's the reason I ask, Gary, is there are a couple of Chicago actors who frequent this show, who come and hang out on this show. And they tell me that in Los Angeles, there's like a crew of Chicago people that are all about talking about the Bears and the Cubs and the Bulls. Is it like that way with Ohio and Ohio entertainers?
I say with LeBron it is. You know, I'm a Cincinnati guy. It is hard to find Bengals fans in the entertainment business. I think you got me, Nick Lachey, and George Clooney. I think it's us three. And we've never sat down to watch a game. So.
Well, let's put that on the bucket list of things that you can do. Yeah. What's the most intimidated that you've been on stage?
The most intimidated? Oh. I mean, probably my first time. I mean, the first time I ever went up, I was in San Diego at the La Jolla Comedy Store. It's about 1 a.m. on a Sunday. There's 10 people in the audience, but there's like 15, 20 comics in the back. And the comics started heckling me. And I was like, whoa. And I didn't know where to go because I only had 5 minutes of material that I had only practiced in the mirror. So I was like 19 or 20 years old. And I had a beer in my hand. And I said, hey, guys in the back, keep heckling. I'm not 21. I've been drinking in this club all night. Why don't I call the cops and shut this place down?
Oh, my God.
When I tell you the lights went off, the mic went off, I got thrown out like a movie. Like a guy literally grabbed the back of my shirt, another guy grabbed my legs, and they threw me out.
So it was like Jazzy Jeff on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Are you getting thrown out?
Exactly. Exactly like that. And I just did a front roll in front of the comedy club, and I got up and dusted myself off, and I go, well, I can't come back here, but I can talk smack a little bit. Okay.
Well, I mean, that's an important skill to pick up for a stand-up, that's for sure. When it comes to what you like as a comedy consumer, like not you on stage, but someone who's watching a movie or watching someone on stage, what do you think is funny?
I like it when you don't see the punch. I mean, comics, sometimes we see the punchline coming a mile away, but every now and then you'll get a comic that just blows your mind because he'll do a setup and the punchline is nothing what you think. Completely makes a U-turn. You're like, I did not see that coming. And also like guys that bare their souls on stage. And I'm not all, to me it's never about the big laugh. It's about, okay, that guy's doing something. He's really telling a story about his life. He's really opening up. And I just dig that. I like that a lot.
You open up about your life and your family on stage. Was that a difficult decision for you to make as you were making it through the comedy world?
I just think it's a natural transition. You know, when I first started doing stand-up, I was talking about going to nightclubs and meeting girls and dating. And then I started dating a girl, and then we got married, and then we have kids, and now our kids are teenagers. So I'm literally, my comedy is just growing as my family grows. And I just think that's a natural progression for most comics.
Well, man, this was a real pleasure to have you on the show. I've admired your work for a long time, and I'm really happy that you're coming to Chicago. And if I can, I'm going to try to make it out to at least one of the shows. Go see Gary Owen at the Improv Chicago and the Improv Schaumburg. If you're looking for tickets, chicagoimprov.com. Thanks for doing this. I know you're super busy, and I hope that my city treats you well when you come here.
Oh, they always do, man. I appreciate it. Thank you.
It's Gary Owen. It's fun. It's fun. I really like. That's one of those interviews where I wish I had him in the studio. I mean, look, he's driving around. I can't. It's different. So at some point when he comes back to Chicago, I want to get that guy in studio because I do think he's hilarious. And his navigation of the black comedy scene is amazing. He gets a lot of love and he deserves it. Works hard and he's pretty funny. So that was fun. That was a nice cleansing breath. After some of the stuff that we've already gone through today. There's some more stuff that I want to talk about. Hey, Studs, load up the Robert Klimko piece. All right, we got it? Okay, so a few weeks ago, Robert Klimko, who covers the NFL for the MMQB, was on the show. And One of the things I asked him, we were talking about something completely different. We were talking about quarterbacking and how the way that quarterback gurus work now is that poorer kids are getting priced out of playing the position. But then we started talking about the NFL, and you hear this all the time as teams have their final OTA. There's a dark period of the NFL where there's nothing going on. It's the like one time in the year, there's like a 5-week stretch after OTAs end and before training camp begins. And one of the things that we always talk about is these guys are going to get in trouble. Now, we don't do this with any other league, but Robert had a couple theories on how you can figure out what's going to happen in the dark period before training camp starts.
Well, I think there's three kinds of NFL players this time of year. There's the guys you don't have to worry about. And, like, that's the vast majority of the league. I would say that's, like, 70% of the league. Like, they're going to go get their work done. Maybe they don't come in and pass their conditioning test on the first day, but they're gonna pass it on the second day of training camp. Like, those guys are rock solid. You're not worried about them. The agents aren't checking up on them all the time. Then the other 30% is split into two groups. There's the guys who already got drug tested, already got their marijuana test out of the way here in the first few weeks of the year. In a lot of circles, they call that test the golden ticket because that means you can smoke for the rest of the year and you're not going to be tested again for marijuana. And those guys are kind of in the clear too. Like, you don't have to worry so much about them. And then the third group is the guys that don't have the golden ticket yet. And they're sitting there itching and trying to stay out of trouble and trying to stay away from, some of the guys from home who are bad influences. And you got to check up on those guys. You know, I know that we don't talk about other athletes like this, but, you know, I think the NFL probably has more discipline issues and drug testing issues and positive tests around, training camp time of year than most of the other leagues. You know, so I think some of that is a little bit justified. I know personally agents who travel a lot this time of year just to check up on guys. You know, they're back and forth between Miami and Los Angeles making sure their guys are good.
Yeah. And look what's happened. Jameis Winston, LeSean McCoy, Marcell Dareus, Pac-Man Jones, although it looks like in Pac-Man's case that he was the party that was being bothered, not out actively trying to bother people. It's bizarre. It's so weird. We do not talk about other sports like this. Like, we don't say in November, man, I hope Joe Maddon keeps a really good eye on Chris Bryant because Lord knows what he's going to get into in the offseason. We're never like, man, I really hope that someone keeps an eye on LeBron this summer. Who knows what type of trouble he might get into. It's never that way with other sports. But with the NFL, it continues to be that way, and they continue to earn that reputation. You even got NFL sponsors going crazy and doing stuff. Sure, Domino's is happy. We'll take a break. We'll talk with Julie DeCaro about her show next here on The Score. This segment is being brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. Julie DeCaro is coming up between now and midnight. Jules, I tell you, these West Coast getaway day games, I have been bitten by them multiple times as a host here at The Score. There's something about them that something weird's going to happen, and my show is going to be delayed by an hour and a half.
Jake Arrieta, no-hitter with a 6-hour postgame.
Yeah, you know, that sort of stuff. goes on.
I was driving in and I was listening to, it must have been the 13th, and I was like, I wonder how what it would take for this game to go past 10 o'clock.
It wouldn't have taken much more. Like, it honestly, if you add in post, although the other thing about getaway day is the post game is really short because Zach has to get on the plane because they will leave him in San Francisco. So he
left my Zach in San Francisco.
That's true. Tony Bennett saying that. So it's usually like 25, 30 minutes where ordinarily like the post is like 45 minutes to an hour. But yeah, had it gone, we started at 8. We started at 8 o'clock tonight. So really what we're talking about is a couple more innings and we're already at 9 with post. So if it goes 17, you probably would have had a late start.
I know. I was kind of like, huh, there's really only bad hitters left at this point. Like, this could go on for a while. And then as soon as I thought that, it was over.
You're pinch hitting pitchers for pitchers. You're like, you're down to that.
The description of Pat with Chris Bryant running backwards, trying to catch the ball. That, that just, I knew it wasn't going to end well.
Once he turned his back, it's like, oop, that's a winner for the Giants.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who are mad that he's playing right field. I'm like, that's what happens in games like this when you pinch hit and you have athletes and you, Joe does this all the time. And I've been surprised at how many people are outraged that Chris Bryant will be playing outfield. And he's done it. We looked, he's played right field 34 times and he's played the outfield like over 100 times in his career.
Here's how I feel like fans are approaching Joe right now. You know when you have someone you work with who drives you crazy and it just piles up like one thing on top of another thing on top of another thing? Next thing you do, you walk by the break room, the person's sitting in there eating a packet of crackers, and you're like, look at him, just sitting in there eating crackers like a jerk. I feel like that's the point we've gotten to with Joe Maddon. Like, there's been so many things that have made people mad that at this point, anything he does sets him off.
Yeah, it's like they were waiting for him. You know, like oh, and we had people tonight they hadn't even watched the game. Like, and when I was explaining to them how Bryant ended up in right field, they're like, what? They were just mad to be mad. And it just, I don't know. It just, it's bizarre. There are a lot of Cubs fans, Julie, that are brand new. Some brand new fans out there these days that feel like that this is just the way that they're going to be winning World Series like every year, and that every game is, and we found out they're tracking one game behind the 2016 team at this point.
That seems impossible.
One game behind.
So then you start wondering, as someone in media, do we have the narrative all wrong? Is this team really good?
Yes.
But.
Here they're the second best team in the National League by record.
Yeah.
But the Brewers are good. That's
the
difference.
Well, the Brewers are better. Also, this team seems more inconsistent than the 2016 team.
Now, maybe that might be we're romanticizing.
Maybe.
The 2016 team. But I think that the fact that the Brewers aren't just not going away, but they're still leading the division, and they look like a team to be reckoned with. Like, you could tell that the Pirates were posers. Like, you knew. You're like, you know, once you got to about 40 games in, you're like, these guys are posers.
Well, yes, there's no one left on their team.
There's no one. They're not going to be here. And the Cardinals, they're a dumpster fire. You don't have to really worry about them. Yeah.
I can't wait to get into this Bud Norris story. It is, Mike Matheny's just the worst.
He really is.
The worst.
It's when Dexter signed down there, I was like, that's not the right place for you. Like,
no.
It's not. And it's not the right place for a lot of people. It just seems horrible. And the thing is you're willing to put up with Belichickian type stuff, nonsense, if you win. But the thing is that the guys who play for Bill Belichick, the Patriots locker room is still loose, but those guys know when to do the job. And when to, I mean, Gronk is in their locker room.
I feel like those guys are afraid of Bill Belichick. I don't think these guys are afraid of Mike Matheny as much as they just hate him.
I think they hate him, and I think they roll their eyes at him.
Yes, in his motivational text, his daily motivational text.
I don't think that you're rolling your eyes at Bill Belichick. I think it's just like, man, is it like this all the time? Is it always not as fun? But it just seems horrible. You know, the idea that they're all the best fans in baseball.
No, well.
And that's been.
There was also that great moment when they asked Dexter if he's enjoyed his time as a Cardinal, and he sort of paused before he answered. And then they were all upset about that. Like, he should have said immediately that he was proud to be a Cardinal. Come on.
Maybe the warning sign was that Jason Hayward took less money to leave. You know what? You guys can pay me, like, more? Nah, I'm just going to leave. I'm just going to head out of here, and I'll go to Chicago. We'll have a good time up there.
It is a dumpster fire. I'm enjoying every minute of it. Every story that comes out of there is just better than the one before.
Well, hand it to my White Sox. They're doing the job tonight for you.
Yeah.
Carlos Rodon out there yelling at Yoan Moncada. But he pitched well tonight. He pitched well tonight, and looks like, well, Dexter's up now with two outs and two on in the top of the ninth, but the White Sox have a 4-0 lead, and that was your scoreboard update.
People are still asking me what happened to scoreboard updates, so now I feel obligated at the top of every hour to say, here's a bunch of stuff that's going on.
Yeah, it's all right to put that into your show. I mean, like tonight, I gave the Brewers score. I don't know what it is now, but the Brewers were up. They were tied 4-4 in the bottom of the eighth.
Still tied.
See? There it is. And there's your scoreboard update. In 10. With Julie DeCara. What are you going to do on the show tonight?
We are going to talk Bears getting set to open training camp next week. So we're going to talk with Aaron Lemming, do some Bears stuff. And then a little bit later on in the show, Bruce Levine is going to be here to tell us what's happening at the trade deadline.
Okay.
And Bruce has some opinions that I can't wait to share.
Oh, really?
Well, just reading his stuff and some of the stuff that he thinks is going to happen. We'll see.
I think that the Cubs...
Big stuff.
At first, I thought the Cubs just needed an arm. Like, they just needed someone to come eat up innings for them. I don't think that's the case anymore.
You gotta replace Jake Arrieta.
I think that you need at least... Like, it needs to be a middle to top of the guy in the rotation guy. It can't be middle down. It needs to be
absolutely
middle up for them. Because Montgomery is clearly tired. Chatwood is all over the place with the yips.
Chatwood's clearly bad.
Lester is, at some point, you're like, is this going to catch up?
Lester's walking a line because he's up in the zone a lot. He's getting hit a lot more. Mm-hmm. And the Cubs are playing great defense behind him.
Quintana's been a little bit better as of late, but you need another arm, at least one more starter in there. So we'll see what they end up doing. But I'm excited that you're. Oh, hey, I'm probably supposed to not ask you this until off the air, but it's guest week next week, so if you and Maggie want to come in and do an hour,
oh, that'd
I'd love
be great
to have you guys.
All right.
We could have a lot of fun. We can do what we had dreamed.
An hour of pop culture?
Yes.
80s pop culture?
Yeah, what do we care? It's All-Star Week. We can totally do that next week.
Is there a worse day in the sports calendar than the day after the All-Star break? It is the worst.
Now, here's my theory on this for what we do. I actually really like it. Like, I've embraced it because I feel like it gives us more freedom. Like, there's so many different directions that we can go, even if it's non-sports that week.
But I'm not even talking about being in media, just in life.
Oh, that it's quiet.
Days with no baseball in the summer? That's terrible.
And you know who's taking advantage of that? The SEC. That's when they do the SEC media days. It's a brilliant stroke of marketing. Like, no one's watching. Like, there's no baseball. Football is still, at least for most people, football is still a couple weeks away. For the Bears, it'll be a couple days away because they start next Thursday. But it's a perfect time for college football to go, hey, guess what? In 6 weeks, we're going to be playing for real. Here's SEC Media Days, and here's Nick Saban yelling at everyone. In Hoover, Alabama, just yelling at everyone. It's crazy. All right, so I will get out of your hair because you have stuff to do.
You can stay.
For real?
Yeah. Oh, you're thinking about it.
I'm off tomorrow.
You're kind of thinking about it.
I'm off tomorrow.
You're always welcome to stay. Whenever you want to stay.
For real?
Yes.
I do want you and Maggie to come and host with me next week at some point.
Okay, we'll do that.
Talk with Herbie. We'll figure out if it matches up. If not, no pressure, but I feel like the three of us would have fun.
I think so, too.
And we could do all the pop culture stuff. Have you seen the new Karate Kid stuff?
No. I know it's out there, but I haven't seen it. I did see Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh, I went on a whole thing about that yesterday.
Did you like it?
I'm not here for the jokes with Marvel right now. I'm not in a place to go see Ant-Man and Wasp.
What does that mean?
I'm still mad. Like, I'm still like, you can't have me in that dark place after Infinity War. And then like, hey, here's Paul Rudd.
Well, I don't want to give anything away.
But there's some explanations.
It doesn't stay that way.
Okay. All right, so.
Also Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She is in that. Huh. All right, well, maybe.
Consider it.
A matinee. They're not getting full $12. They're getting $6 for that junk. Thanks, Jules. I'm looking forward to listening on the drive home.
Thank you.
And I will see. Were you here Friday night?
No, last Friday?
This Friday.
Oh, no, I'm not here this Friday night.
So I'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Hopefully you and Maggie come do the show.
What's happening tomorrow?
Tomorrow I'm off. I've got dinner with Benetti.
Ah,
so
right.
I'm going to hang out with him.
All right, fine.
Julie's next here on The Score.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.